So the first sugya we're going to tackle on Sinai Tesson Bays, we went through how many? Eight? I think we discovered eight different sugyas we need to discuss here. So we could spend the rest of the semester on Sinai Tesson Bays. We'll see how much we do spend. But Hidur Mitzvah is the first thing. Why did we come up with Hidur Mitzvah? Because the Mishnah said a halacha that you're not letting matan erev Pesach when it's late in the day. Why? So Rashi and the Rashbam said, Mishum Hidur Mitzvah, because it's a Hidur Mitzvah. So we pointed out that this is not the normal usage of the term Hidur Mitzvah. And now that we have the packets where we have actual Mar Makomos here, we should take a look at see inside what the actual normal sources for Hidur Mitzvah are, meaning what the normal context of Hidur Mitzvah is. So the most important basic Gemara that teaches us the Chiv of Hidur Mitzvah is the Gemara Masechet Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Titanya Zekeli Vanvehu. Vanvehu means to snow the fun of the mitzvah. So we should do beautiful mitzvahs. What does that mean? Asei lefun of sukkah na'ah. Have a beautiful sukkah. V'lulav na'ah. Beautiful lulav. Interesting that it's lulav as opposed to esrog. But probably over here lulav is used in the sense of the dalad minim. Dalad minim, sometimes all of them as a group are called lulav. What's my raya that sometimes as a group they're called lulav? The bracha that we say is Altiel's lulav. Well, we're not just taking lulav, we're taking all of them. So the Balei HaTosfos are already bothered. Why do we only say Altiel's lulav? It should be Altiel's lulav, Esrog, Hadassim, Aravos. So lulav is the tallest of them, it sticks out the most. But lulav, that when we refer to it, it means all of them. So it's probably that's what this Gemara means also. Lulav, no, it doesn't just mean nice. Lulav means nice everything. Nice Esrog, nice Hadassim, nice Aravos. This shofar, no, nice shofar. Tzitzis, no, nice tzitzis. Sefer Torah, no. And v'kasav bo l'shmo b'dio na'a. You should write the Sefer Torah l'shmo with nice ink, b'kulmosa and a nice quill. B'lav lar uman, an expert scribe, v'korcho b'shira in na'in, and wrap it in nice accoutrements, the nice, whatever you call it, the gartel and the mantle of the Sefer Torah should also be nice. Abishalomer va'anveyu. No, the word va'anveyu means something else. Have a domolo, that we're supposed to mimic God. Mahu chanan v'rachum, afata yi chanan v'rachum. Just like God is chanan v'rachum, is merciful and kind, we should also be merciful and kind. Now, again, what did the Gemara do? It identified specific examples of Hidur Mitzvah. And at least the first five examples were all about a nice Cheftza shel mitzvah. You could argue about some of the examples. Are they all about a nice cheftza shel mitzvah? So when the Gemara says, so clearly, sukkah na, lulav na, shofar na, tzitz na, sefer Torah na, are all nice cheftza shel mitzvah, right? It's all about the object of the mitzvah. Make it nice. Then it gets a little more iffy. V'kasav bo l'shmo b'dio na. Which part of that is hidur? Are those two separate hidurim? Is Lashmo Hidur number one and Bidyo Na'a Hidur number two? Or is Lashmo just a basic halacha in Hilchos Sefer Torah that you got to write it Lashmo? So once we're mentioning how to write a Sefer Torah, we mention Lashmo, but that's not really part of the Hidur Mitzvah per se. The Diyo Na'a is part of the Hidur Mitzvah, but the Lashmo part is not really part of the Hidur Mitzvah. So okay, that's arguable. If Lashmo is part of the Hidur, so then what do you see? That Hidur is not just in the Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. What's Lashmo? It's a hidur in what? When you're doing it lishmo, how would you describe that hidur? What makes lishmo a hidur? It's not the object, but it's the effort. It's your kavana. So there's hidur in kavana. So if lishmo is part of the picture of hidur, so then it could be we already see in this Gemara a basis for Rashi of why eating matzah when you're hungry is hidur. Why? Because we see that mindset is also hidur. So your mindset when you eat matzah is also hidur. But I don't think that's pshat in the Gemara. I think lishmo is just mentioned derech agav, because every hidur that it spoke about was about, use the word na'a, tiyo na'a, kumlas na'a, right? Shira'in na'in, everything's na'a, na'a, na'a. So I would think lishmo is just mentioned derech agav. So I don't think this is a great source for the idea that kavana is a hidur. Where else do we have unusual types of hidur besides for just Cheftza Shel Mitzvah? If you look in Rashi, Maseches Yuma, so the Gemara in Yuma describes how when they would do Hakel, in the Beis Hamikdash, everyone would get together and would come hear the Melech reading from the Sefer Torah. So everyone would bring their own personal Sefer Torah, because there's a mitzvah everyone's supposed to have, their own personal Sefer Torah, because there's a mitzvah Taryag in the Torah, it's to write a Sefer Torah. So everyone would bring their own Sefer Torah, and they would pick it up, Laharus Chazusa L'Rabim, to show everybody else their Sefer Torah. So says Rashi, why? Laharus no yoshel Sefer Torah, to show the beauty of their Sefer Torah, v'tiferes ba'aleha, and the glory of the owner of this Torah, shetarach lisna'os b'mitzvah, who went out of his way to make such a nice mitzvah, shenemar, zekeli vanvei, who is not the fun of b'mitzvahs, lulana Sefer Torah, na klafna, diona, lav l'ruman, etc. So, what's it describing? Everyone would show off their Sefer Torah, why? Because they were showing off what beautiful Hidur Mitzvah they had. Now, that's all you really needed to say. They were showing off what beautiful Hidur Mitzvah they had. What is Rashi adding when he says, V'tif eres ba'aleha shetarach lehisna'os b'mitzvah? Yeah, that he burdens himself. Why does that matter? Does it matter? Let's say I'm a rich guy, right? So, I could train myself over years to write a beautiful Sefer Torah, or I can get someone else to write a beautiful, someone who's an expert scribe, and get him to write a Sefer Torah. I'll pay him $100,000 and he'll write a beautiful Sefer Torah for me. Good? Is the Sefer Torah going to be any nicer if I train myself than if I get him to write it for me? No, it probably will be less nice. If I find the best sofer, he'll do a better job no matter how. I'm not so artistic. He'll do a better job than I do in writing a Sefer Torah. He has more experience. He'll do a great job writing a Sefer Torah. So what's going to be the bigger Hidur Mitzvah? Is the bigger Hidur Mitzvah to work on it myself and to train myself? Or is the bigger Hidur Mitzvah to have a nicer Sefer Torah? If Hidur Mitzvah is a din in Chefetzah Shel Mitzvah, in just having a nice Chefetzah Shel Mitzvah, so what's going to be the bigger Hidur in that case? Paying him and having a nicer Sefer Torah. That's the bigger Hidur. But if Hidur Mitzvah is a din in my attitude and maybe in my effort, well then, maybe the Hidur Mitzvah is not to have the nicer Sefer Torah, it's to work harder on it, to train myself. So look what Rashi does. Rashi says, what are we doing? What's this great Hidur that we're showing off? Tif eres ba'aleh shetorach lisna'os b'mitzvah. Maybe what Rashi is indicating to us is that the tircha itself is part of the Hidur. And that you have to measure, of course, having a nice Chavetz Shal Mitzvah is also a Hidur Mitzvah. But so is working on a mitzvah. And you have to measure the relative Hidur. That what's going to be the bigger Hidur over here? Is the working on it going to be the bigger Hidur? Or is the actual end product going to be the bigger Hidur? But either way, what emerges from this Rashi is that working on something can also be a Hidur. So it's not only about a Chavetz Shal Mitzvah. So what I'm trying to show you, what we're trying to accomplish over here is, we have this very narrow view of Hidur Mitzvah from the Gemara and Shabbos. The Gemara says, have nice stuff. Stuff you use for a mitzvah should be nice. But Rashi maybe broadens that a little. It's not just stuff. It's effort can also be Hidur. And if effort can be Hidur, maybe attitude can be Hidur. And maybe that's what Rashi is saying over here, that our attitude in eating the matzah can be a Hidur Mitzvah also. So now we have three types of Hidur Mitzvah. We have Hidur in the Chefetzah Shel Mitzvah. We have Hidur in the effort of the mitzvah, Rashi and Yuma. And we have Hidur in the attitude toward doing the mitzvah. That when we eat matzah, we're happy about it. Now, other Rishonim are not so convinced that the reason we have to eat matzah on Erev Pesach, that we're not allowed to eat on Erev Pesach, so that we could eat matzah that night, is about Hidur Mitzvah. Other Rishonim are not so convinced that it's about Hidur Mitzvah. I believe the Rush, I forgot to take a look. Let's take a look now. I think it was the Rush. I was not so sure that it was Hidur Mitzvah. I believe he had such a Lashon. Someone did, I don't remember which Rishon I saw, that said that there's a concept in halacha called achila gasa. What's achila gasa? A person eats something and he's stuffed. He can't even bear the sight of food. So when you're stuffed and you can't eat anything, and you do a mitzvah sachili, like, oh, but I have a mitzvah, I have to eat this karban, mitzvah v'achilas kachim. Do you get the mitzvah v'achilas kachim if you eat it in a way that's just gross to eat? Right? It's just gross to be eating at that point.
So there is a deya in the Gemara, achila gasa lo shma achila, that it's not called achila when you eat an achila gasa. So let's say a person stuffs himself in Erev Pesach. He eats lunch and a late lunch and then a third lunch, and he's just eating all day in Erev Pesach. So it comes time for the mitzvah of matzah, Pesach night. So he has a mitzvah of achilas matzah, right? So what's he going to do? He's going to eat a kazayas of matzah. Now if you hold achila gasa is not called achila, so then what? It's not just that he didn't do a hidur mitzvah. It's worse than that. What is it? He didn't do anything. He didn't do the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not to put matzah in your mouth and make sure it works through your system. The mitzvah is achilas matzah. And achil is defined specifically by eating when you are not overly stuffed. If you're stuffed by the time you eat, that's not called achila. So it's simply lo shmei achila. It's simply not called achila. Right? That's how some of the Rishonim say. The Rambam, if you look how the Rambam quotes this halacha, that Erev Pesach, I didn't tell you to look at it, so I don't know if you did or not, but the Rambam says that if a person eats late in the day in Erev Pesach, maknos makas mardus, we give him malchus midrabanan, because the whole list is only drabanan, so we can't give him regular malchus d'oraisa, but malchus midrabanan. When do we give him malchus midrabanan? When do we give malchus in general? For failure to do a hidur mitzvah, you can give him malchus? That's very schwer. The whole thing is about hidur mitzvah. You can give someone malchus for not doing hidur mitzvah? If a guy gets the cheapest esrog, he decides, he's going to spend $20 instead of $80 on his esrog. So you can give him malchus mardus? It's crazy, right? No one would say that. So the Rambam's clearly not talking about hidur mitzvah. Is he talking about that you're not doing the mitzvah? If someone fails to give me a mitzvah, fails to eat mara, fails to do sipritzis mitzrayim, fails to put on tefillin, makas mardus? Do we have such a thing? I don't think so. Where do we have makas mardus? It's not failure to do. Makas mardus is always you did something wrong, right? It was kumba say you did something bad. What did the guy do bad over here? If the whole point is that he didn't do the hidur mitzvah by eating matzah, so certainly you wouldn't get malchus for that. Or even if you say like the second day in Rishonim, that it's that you're not doing the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Yeah, but that's just not doing a mitzvah. You didn't do anything wrong, right? You didn't actively do something wrong. You just didn't do the mitzvah. Would you get malchus mardus for that? The impression you get from the Rambam almost is that the Rabbanan made an Isser D'Rabbanan. It became like a Los HaSemi D'Rabbanan to eat on Erev Pesach. So it's like you violated a lot. It's a Lav Midrabbanan. It's not just Rabbanan giving advice, don't do this because of the mitzvah. Because of a mitzvah sase or a hidr mitzvah. It actually becomes almost like a Los HaSemi. L'may nafkamina, whether it's because of hidr mitzvah, whether it's because of the mitzvah itself, that it's simply you're not getting the mitzvah, or whether it becomes like a lo sasei. What? Malchus is one of them. Good. What other nafkamina might we have? So another nafkamina, take a look at the Gemara Baba Kama. I told you to look at this morning. I saw you guys were looking at it. Gemara Baba Kama talks about how much money does somebody spend on hidur mitzvah. What number is it?
17.
Yeah, there we go, 17. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav Huna, b'mitzvah ad shlish. For a mitzvah, you should spend up until one third of your money. So says the Gemara, my shlish. What do you mean by one third of your money? Ilem shlish pesa. We mean literally one third of my money. I mean, I have $300 to my name. I'm supposed to spend $100 on the first mitzvah that comes along. Elameata iyisrami leitzlasa mitzvasa leisiv lekuli besa. So if three mitzvahs come along at the same time, I should have to spend all my money on mitzvahs and have nothing left. And it's very easy to have three mitzvahs come along. Tzitzis, mezuzah, tefillin. I didn't even get out of bed and I'm done. All my money is gone. So it's crazy. How could that be? That's unreasonable. It can't be that the Torah requires such an unreasonable thing. So, Ela Amar Rabbi Zeira b'hidur mitzvah ad shlish b'mitzvah. It means that to do the hidur mitzvah of any given mitzvah, you need to spend up until one third of what that mitzvah costs. Boyravashi shlish milgavu shlish milavar. So he says, okay, what do you mean by one third? One third in Shas can mean two different things. It can mean what we call one third. That's shlish milgav. One third of 30 is 10. Right? That's what we call one third. Or it could be shlish milavar. Shlish milavar means that when you add that number, that percentage, to the original number, it's then one third of the total, which is another way of saying 50%. 50% of 30 is 15. If you add 15 to 30, you have 45. 15 is one third of 45. So that's a shlish milavar, right? So which is it? If I could find the cheapest esrog available, is a $30 esrog. So I want to do hider mitzvah. So do I buy a $40 esrog or do I buy a $45 esrog? Do I spend an extra $10 or do I spend an extra $15? Says Mar Teku. Don't know.
Why does the money matter in the nicest of an esrog in general?
Well, in general, what you get what you pay for. Meaning, if you the truth is, by esrogim very often, you don't get what you pay for. You really need to know what you're looking for, and you can find a nicer esrog in the cheaper pile sometimes than you'll find in the more expensive pile. Now, nowadays, most of our esrogim are so mahudar anyway. You know, when people call me, I want to come out every Sukkot. I got like, you weren't the only one. I got like at least a half a dozen people call me up. I want to come over. I have my esrog. I want to see my esrog. So I always say, don't bring your esrog. Bring your lulav. Because your esrog is going to be mahudar. Your lulav is probably pasul. Let me see your lulav. Let me not see your esrog. So one person came up with the esrog, and it was taka pasul. I never saw a pasul esrog before. It was mamish pasul. It was chaser. I didn't even look at it. I'm like, yeah, it's kosher. He's like, even that's better. I'm like, no, that's actually possible. I guess I really should look at them. But where was I? Yeah, so generally, if you can get a nicer pair of tefillin, if you pay a little bit more money for it, you'll get a nicer whatever. So we assume, so how much nicer do I need to get in order to fulfill hider mitzvah? So one shlish. But we don't know whether it's shlish milgav or shlish milvar. But then the Gemara adds something else. Up until one shlish is on your cheshbon, after that, it's Mishal Kodesh Baruch Hu, which Rashi says means Hashem's going to pay you back for that. So you're never losing by spending more on Hidur Mitzvah. You want to spend more on Hidur Mitzvah, it's great. What does it sound like? But up until one third, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is not going to pay you back for. That you got to do out of pocket. So it sounds like Hidur Mitzvah is a chiyuv. You know, we often think of Hidur Mitzvah as like something you want to go extra, beyond the letter of the law. So it sounds like, no, if you have the opportunity for Hidur Mitzvah, you have a chiyuv to do Hidur Mitzvah up until one shlish. And then beyond that, you know, it's a nice, it's a beautiful thing to do, and Hashem will take care of you for it. But up until one shlish is an absolute chiyuv. So now here's another nafkamina. If you say like Rashi that the reason I have to eat, I'm not allowed to eat an Erev Pesach is because hider mitzvah of eating matzah, how much do I have to spend? Let's say someone wants to force me to eat an Erev Pesach and I need to spend money to buy him off that he shouldn't force me to eat. I don't know if you can imagine such a tzibur where it will cost money not to eat on Erev Pesach. How much do I need to spend not to eat on Erev Pesach?
You're part of the kosher hot dog eating contest now.
Right, and in order to get out of the contest, in order to get out of the hot dog eating contest, I need to spend money. So how much do I have to spend to get out of eating on Erev Pesach? So if it's all in hider mitzvah, so how much do I need to spend in hider mitzvah? Ad shlish b'mitzvah. So take the price of matzah, v'kazayis matzah, I only need to spend one third more than that, milgav, milavar, whichever, one third more than that in order to get out of it, right? But if you hold that it's not about hider mitzvah, it's about the mitzvah itself, that I'm going to eat so much to me achil gasa, so it's not going to be a mitzvah achilas matzah at all, so how much do I have to spend in order to avoid having my matzah being achil gasa? How much do you have to spend in general for a mitzvah? A fifth, but is a fifth more than a third or less than a third? So normally a fifth is less than a third, but it's, when we talk about a fifth, it's not a fifth of the mitzvah. What's it a fifth of when we say that a fifth of all your money? It's a fifth of everything. So let's say I have $20,000 in the bank, right? And you know, I'm not the world's richest man, but you know, I have money and I have some assets and I have things that are worth a certain amount of money. So matzah, because I said matzah cost me what? $5.
Less, right? What? Box is way more than gazayis, right? So gazayis cost me $2, a dollar. So for hider mitzvah, how much do I need to spend to avoid eating erev Pesach? If it's just in hider, I need to spend 50 cents, but no more than that. But if it were about a mitzvah, how much do I have to spend? I have $20,000 in the bank. I got to spend 20% of that. Or if it's chomish milavar, I'd have to spend 25% of it. Whatever, it's a lot more money, thousands of dollars now. So that could be a significant nafkamina.
Well, also, we're also assuming that within that logic of reasoning, that there would be no hither if you ate at that point. I mean, we're assuming that because of the, I guess, I'm assuming that it's a derbana.
So you're saying maybe I'll have other hither mitzvah. My matzah will be beautiful matzah.
But also waiting any amount, maybe it could be some sort of hither mitzvah. You ate, okay, fine, so it wasn't. But I also waited 3 hours before the Super
Bowl. Right, I mean, it's like a sliding scale. There's other levels of it. But, so that's a good point. I mean, what if I'm already being Mekayim Hidur Mitzvah? For more of a Hidur? Do I need to spend another? Let's say I'm able to be Mekayim Hidur Mitzvah for free. So do I need to then spend more in order to create a bigger Hidur? That's a good question. I'm not sure. Let's say it's a los asay. How much do you have to spend on a los asay? All your money to avoid a los asay. So it would be a serious nafkamina. Another nafkamina also would be, what if I want to eat late in the day of Pesach? What's an achila gasa that's lishmei achila? So Tosfos talks about this in Maseches Nazir. Tosfos talks about if you have, the Gemara has a line that tzadikim yelchubam poshim yikashlubam. So the Gemara has a line that that someone who eats karban is tzaddikim yal chubam, but if he eats it l'shem mitzvah, it's tzaddikim yal chubam, but if he eats it l'shem achila gasa, it's poshim yikash l'bam. So the Gemara says, poshim yikash l'bam? He eats a karban achila gasa, that's called poshim yikash l'bam? What's so terrible about eating it achila gasa? So the Gemara says, nihid the mitzvah kavin, mitzvah min amufchar lo kavin. Granted, he didn't do the mitzvah in a mufchar, but he did something. He at least did the mitzvah. So Tosfos raises the kasha. Wait a second. That sounds like achila gasa is called an achila, that it is a mitzvah. It's just not mitzvah in a mufchar, but it's still a mitzvah. But elsewhere, when it comes to eating on Yom Kippur and achila gasa, we say you're totally potter. It's not even called achila. So it's not even achila at all. You stuff yourself right before Yom Kippur. And then right before Kol Nidre, you eat more. So it's achila gasa. It's not even called achila. You're not even chayv for that. So which is it? Is it not achila at all? Or is it achila, just not a nice achila? So Tosfos says, well, shnei mina achila gasa yesh. There are two types of achila gasa. There's achila gasa where, you know, you had enough. But there's that dessert comes out, there's chocolate cake, and it's like, it looks good, and, you know, you could make room for that. So that's one type of achila gasa. Then there's another type of achila gasa. You ever so stuffed that like the thought of food makes you want to vomit? But like you need to finish it because you're in the hot dog eating contest. It's like, it's gross. You just, the thought of food makes you want to vomit, but you got to get that last hot dog in because you got to beat Kobayashi or whatever. You got to beat that next guy. So it says two types of achila gasa. The first type of achila gasa, I can make room for chocolate cake. So that's achila. It's just not a nice way to eat, but it's achila. The second type of achila gasa, where you're so stuffed that the thought of food makes you sick, that's not even achila. So l'chora, if you're going to say like the Shita and Rishonim, that you're not allowed to eat an Erev Pesach because it's not going to be an achila, well then, you could eat as long as you're not going to stuff yourself like crazy, right? It will still be an achila. Will it be a hider mitzvah? No, it's not going to be a hider mitzvah because you're not going to be hungry. You're going to be like in the chocolate cake position. I can make room for a kazayis of matzah. So that's not nice, but it's an achila. So if you have enough food on Erev Pesach to make it that you're in that position where you can make room for a kazayis, but you're not going to be sickened by it, right? You can make room for it, but you're not going to be hungry for it. So it's not going to be a hider mitzvah, but it is going to be an achila. So that might be another nafkamina. between these two approaches. Yeah.
I'm just talking about eating on Erev Pesach, because when you're eating, when you're not going to end up eating until like a lot later in the night anyway. So
right. What are we worried about? What are we worried about? And aside from that, the Achronim point out, you're going to eat later in the night before you eat your Kazayis HaMatzah. Meaning, if you assume that the Kazayis is the Afikomen, so you can eat lots and lots before the Afikomen. So why aren't we worried about that food? So it's a fair question. This may be what's behind the Rambam, by the way. I mean, the Rambam might be saying, look, technically, hidur mitzvah is achila gasa, any of these kinds of things. Technically, if you eat an Erev Pesach, it's not like, can a person say, I'm going to eat an Erev Pesach, don't worry about it. My Seder takes forever. By the time I get to eating anything, I'm good, it will be fine. You know, just to get to, you know, just to get through Manishtana takes us like an hour and a half because, you know, all of my nieces and nephews have to say it or whatever. Like, don't worry about it, I'll be hungry again. So, you know, mitam hider mitzvah, mitam achil gasa, you can make an argument that it shouldn't be aser. Maybe that's what the Rambam emphasizes, makas mardus. That it's true, hider mitzvah, achil gasa may be the reason for the takana, but once the Rabbanan made it aser to eat, it became like a los aser mid Rabbanan. Meaning they treated it like an isra achil. So eating a kazayas of matzah ashiro, or whatever it is that you're going to eat, tells us, discuss the other, whatever it is that that's aser to eat, just doing an achila itself is the isra. Even the, and we don't cheshbon, we don't make the cheshbonos. Oh, well, what will stuff me? What won't stuff me? When do I get, am I in istinus? Am I someone who, if I eat lunch, I am never able to eat dinner? Or am I someone who can eat seven meals a day without a problem? Right? We don't make those cheshbonos. They make it aser, it's aser. So it becomes an isra achila. That could be what's behind the Rambam. Yeah.
If we assume the
mitzvah achila and the matzah is for
afikomen, is that what we assume?
It's a
machlokes
rishon.
So assuming that, sorry, that,
yeah.
How can you possibly put together hidur mitzvah for that eating plus avikomen when there's a meal like in between, there's all eating between things, and then what's the difference between the connection between that?
Yeah, so the svara that I saw, again, I don't remember if I saw it in a Rishon or an Achron, but the svara that I, or obviously which sefer I saw, but the svara that I saw was that sometimes when you know right now what's in front of you, what you need to eat, you'll know how to control your intake of food so that you could have room for the last piece of matzah. But when it's like way in advance, so you're not going to control your intake as much, and therefore you may end up more stuffed because you're not thinking of it in terms of the meal that you can have later. So like when it's Erev Pesach, I think that it makes a certain amount of sense. Also, a lot of times, I don't know if you realize this, they tell you when you diet that you should eat slowly. Why do they tell you to eat slowly? Because your brain doesn't realize that it's full yet. Meaning you can keep on eating and keep being hungry for a while before your brain realizes that your stomach is full. So if you eat slowly, you eat a small portion, then come back in 20 minutes, you'll see you're not really that hungry anymore. But right in the moment, after you eat that small portion, you feel hungry, because your brain doesn't realize that. So in the moment, you could eat a lot and eat more. But like on Erev Pesach, you're going to think, yeah, I'm still hungry. But then an hour later, you're going to realize your brain's going to catch up with your stomach, and your brain's going to realize, uh-oh. I'm not hungry. I feel like I need to throw up, right? You know that. So it could be. I hear that svara. I mean, as someone who's dieted, I hear that svara a lot. Okay. All right. So now let's just get into a little bit about hidur mitzvah in general. Danny was asking me before. Once we're in this Gemara Baba Kama, you know, this idea of which shlish is it? Is it a shlish milagav or is it a shlish milavar? So the Gemara leaves it as a teku, which kind of shlish we use, a shlish milgav or a shlish milvar. The Gemara leaves it unresolved. So how would you paskin when you have a suffek on something like this?
And the extra $5.
So you say it's Doraisa Rabban, you say spend the extra $5. That's a very fascinating approach, and I'll tell you why in a second. Doraisa Rabban is the classic approach, that's what I expected you to answer. Whenever you have a suffix, suffix daraisa lechumra, suffix darabanan lechula. If what's daraisa darabanan?
Well,
hiddur mitzvah, the concept of hiddur mitzvah in general, or if this mitzvah that I'm doing is d'oraisa d'rabanan. Let's say the concept of hiddur mitzvah is only d'rabanan, but this mitzvah that I'm doing is d'oraisa. What? So the mitzvah shouldn't matter at all. Okay. Let's say the mitzvah that I'm doing is d'rabanan, hiddur mitzvah is d'oraisa. You would still say you have to be more machmir? Can a hiddur mitzvah and a din d'rabanan be a din d'oraisa? Neiros Chanukah are a din d'rabanan. But to have the nicest oil for Neiros Chanukah is a din d'oraisa? You hear the issue? What this may relate to is how do we view hiddur mitzvah in general? Do we view hiddur mitzvah as a detail within each mitzvah? That every mitzvah has its mitzvah and the hiddur of it? Or do we view hiddur mitzvah as a general concept about mitzvahs? About avodas Hashem? Doing my avodas Hashem b'hiddur is a kiyum d'oraisa of v'anveihu. And therefore, even if the particular avodas Hashem I'm involved in right now is ner Chanukah, is a din d'rabanan, but maybe doing it b'hiddur is a kiyum d'oraisa. Or no. Hiddur is a detail in the mitzvah. So if the mitzvah is d'rabanan, the hiddur is d'rabanan. You hear the... What? Right, but that's because he's in it, like, there's such a concept that people who aren't chayiv in mitzvahs can volunteer them and still get a kiyum d'oraisa. God doesn't obligate them to do them, but God gives them the option. So that's all midoraisa. That kiyum the whole mechanism is midoraisa. Meaning every mitzvah for him is a mitzvah kiyumis. Like let's say eating matzah, if you hold like the ground, eating matzah on the rest of the days of Pesach. So there's room to argue that you get a kiyum d'oraisa of eating matzah after the first night of Pesach. Am I chayiv to eat a kazayis matzah? No. But I'm after the first night? No, but I get a kiyum d'oraisa. So every mitzvah for a katan is like that. Or lula for an isha is like that. But the whole mechanism is on a d'oraisa. As opposed to over here, we're talking about a mitzvah that's clearly d'rabana. So is the hiddur of that mitzvah a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabanan? So first thing we need to ask ourselves is the requirement of hiddur mitzvah in general just a din d'oraisa, d'rabanan, or is it a din d'oraisa? So we saw the source. What was the source for hiddur mitzvah? Van veyu, the Gemara Darshan, van veyu, it's not the fun of the mitzvahs. Right, so what does that tell you? D'oraisa or d'rabanan? Oh, so you say d'oraisa because it's a pasuk in the Torah. You say d'rabanan. How do you know it's an asmachta? Did the Gemara say it's an asmachta? I don't think so. Why would you think it's an asmachta? It might be, though. So let's take a look at the Amshul Shlomo for a quick second. Simen Chav Dalid. Source number 5. We have a few passages in the Amshul Shlomo over here. I did indeed. And source number 8. 5 and 8. So take a look at either one, whichever one you want. 5 or 8. So, Umasik Shlushmi Lagav or Shlushmi Lavar Teku. So the Gemara leaves it as a Teku, whether it's Shlushmi Lagav or Shlushmi Lavar. Because of Arash, Shlushmi Lagav. Kivin Dol Nifshata Abaya. The Rush Paskins, if the cheapest esrog is $30, what do you spend? 40, not 45. So he's Makil. Whoa, what does that tell you? That the Rosh must hold? That's Rabbanon. V'teima, me'achar, shu sveika d'oraisa, azlinu l'chumra. It's something d'oraisa, we should go l'chumra, we shouldn't be Makil. So v'afshar shu saverdein za d'oraisa. Maybe the Rosh holds not d'oraisa. Why? Me'achar she'inu mitzvah sasei, rak mitzvah bi'alma l'hader ha-mitzvah. What does that mean? Since it's not a positive commandment in the Torah, it's just a reference that the Torah makes to doing nice things. So maybe it has the status of a din d'rab, of a mitzvah d'rabbanan. It's an unusual svara. Meaning, yeah, it's alluded to in the Torah, But since the Torah doesn't allude to it in a more direct fashion, so maybe it only enjoys the status of a mitzvah d'rabbanan. So, Pashut reading of the Rosh is the Rosh holds that Hiddur Mitzvah is Darabanan, right? Aye, but it's a Pasuk. Pasuk says Van Veyu. So Van Veyu sounds like it's Daraisa. There's a Rishon that says even more explicitly that it's Darabanan. The Ritva in Mesechah Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara in Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph has a machlokas tanaim, whether lulav tzarech eged or lulav ein tzarech eged. Do you have to tie the hadas and aravos and lulav all together, or can you just have them loosely, right, hold them loosely without them being bound together by anything? So we paskin, anyone know what we paskin? What? You don't have to. Lulav ein tzarech eged. So why do we do it? Why do we tie everything together? So we sort of do. We have the rapture to make it nicer. So the Gemara says Hiddur Mitzvah. We do it because of Hiddur Mitzvah. So says the Ritva, Uparkinan Dahainu Mitzvah Drabbanan Mishum Shenemar Zeh Keli Vanveh Usnal Fun of the Mitzvahs. It's a Mitzvah Drabbanan Zeh Keli Vanveh Shenemar Zeh Keli Vanveh. So even though we're quoting a pasuk, we're assuming for some reason that that pasuk is asmachta. But that's what it sounds from the Ritva. That the concept of Hiddur Mitzvah is only the Rabbanan. Does anyone say it's the Raisa? So there is a raya that Hiddur Mitzvah is the Raisa. If you look in Harei Kodesh, source number 7 over here, Harei Kodesh is... it's the footnotes on the bottom of Mikrai Kodesh of Tzvi Pesach Frank. Tzvi Pesach Frank was a Rebbe Yerushalayim, very, very big Talmud Chacham. So I think the Harei Kodesh was written by a grandson or something of his who published the Mikrai Kodesh. So he quotes the following Raya. First he quotes the Ritva, Ayin Ritva Sukkah, Bahad Amru B'Gemar Hashem Dil Rabbanan, Mitzvah Logdom Mishim Zekeh Levan Veyu, Dehid Mitzvah Drabbanan, Vajrasha Shel Zekeh Levan Veyu, Hi Asmachta. Right, like you said before, Dimi Daraisa in the Chalik ben Lechachilu ben Diavet. Shadav Minatara in Bochiluk ben Lechachilu ben Diavet. He says it can't be that it's a Daraisa, because if it were a Daraisa, there would be no such difference between a Lechachilu and a Bediavet. On Daraisa level, you don't have a difference between a Lechachilu and Bediavet. That's a whole other statement of the Ritva that needs its own shear. Is that really true that on a Daraisa level we never have a difference between Lechachilu and Bediavet? Whatever. Amnam b'shagas Arye Mashma Shaldas HaRambam Hu Daraisa. So he says, however, the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam holds Hiddur Mitzvah is a Din D'Oraisa, and the Chidushei Anshei Shem on the side of the Rif also holds that it's a Din D'Oraisa. Alright. He has a raya from Karbanos, but we'll leave it out. We'll leave it out now because I don't have it here. But the bottom line is Hiddur Mitzvah Din D'Oraisa Din D'Rabbanan? Machlok is Rishonim, right? Whether it's Din D'Oraisa Din D'Rabbanan. And so then the next point we're going to have to deal with is, okay, if it's a Din D'Rabbanan, so it's a non-starter. Hiddur Mitzvah, you would say like the Rosh, it's Milagav, right? You do Shlush Milagav. If it's a Din D'Oraisa, then maybe we have to look at the Mitzvah. Is Hiddur Mitzvah a din in each mitzvah, or is it a global din separate from the mitzvah? Another nafkamina in that discussion, whether Hiddur Mitzvah is local or Hiddur Mitzvah is a global din separate from the mitzvah, might be, can you do Hiddur Mitzvah separately from doing the mitzvah? Can I do a mitzvah and then do Hiddur Mitzvah? Like, let's say I take an esrog, and then later in the day I take a different one that's nicer. Is there any kunz? Is there any point in doing that? You say, no, you did your mitzvah already. You can't do Hiddur now. The mitzvah is already over. So if Hiddur mitzvah is a din in each mitzvah, so it's only while you're doing the mitzvah, you can do Hiddur mitzvah. But if Hiddur mitzvah is just a general thing of Avodas Hashem, that do Hiddur mitzvah in general, but it's not about each mitzvah, so maybe even when I'm not doing the mitzvah, I should be able to go back and do Hiddur mitzvah.
Like,
would be hindered mitzvah.
Okay, good. Maybe it would be though. We'll see. There's a very I don't know, called famous, but probably the most famous Briska Rav, passage, essay that the Briska Rav ever wrote is probably on this issue of whether hiddur mitzvah was local or whether it's global. There's a beautiful mahalich in source number 43. So for tomorrow, Be'ezras Hashem, if you have a chance, if you've never seen this Briska Rav, you must see this Briska Rav. So Be'ezras Hashem, tomorrow we'll go through that and we'll go through some other inyanim related to hiddur mitzvah. Okay?
So what should we do tomorrow?
What a catch. So the Briska Rav, I would say, yeah, and it will take you a while. Okay?